Hello and welcome to On Manorama Movie Podcast, Star Action Cut. Today we are decoding the movie Poor Things, released in 2023. It's a film directed by Yorgos Lanthimos and written by Tony McNamara. And it's based on the 1992 novel by Lasdaire Gray. And Emma Stone, Mark Ruffalo, Willem Dafoe, Rami Yusuf, among others, form the ensemble cast. The movie won Emma Stone the Oscar Award for the Best Actress. Now, Princy and Swati are joining us to discuss the film. It's the story of Bella Baxter, played by Emma Stone. She's a young woman in London, and she dies by suicide when she is pregnant. And she is brought back to life after her brain is replaced with that of her fetus. What follows is self-discovery by a woman of free will. The subject, the feminist theme, and the message it conveys, is it a call against the conservative Victorian norms and disciplines? So, Princy, what's your opinion about the film?
Yes, Padma Kumar. Poor Things is not your ordinary weekend watch. You know, first of all, you will have to view this movie with an open mind because there's a lot of stomach in it. It's also that kind of film that gets bizarre with every scene. Just imagine having a baby's brain pulled out and implanted into a woman's head. So that's fascinating in that way. But, you know, just because it is said through the eyes of a woman may make it seem feministic. But for me, Poor Things is more of a journey of self-discovery. Definitely, the males seem to have an upper hand in this movie. But I do not want to box it, you know, under a feminist theme. More so because it only explored a side of what freedom is to women. Only one side of what freedom is to women. Definitely, it is empowering to see Bella find her happiness within her body. But how can that be liberation alone? I think the filmmaker missed those aspects. But generally, the whole movie was intriguing.
What do you say, Swati?
Well, Padma Kumar, I have to agree with Princy that the movie is extremely bizarre. But I actually got what the makers were trying to say. I think it is about a woman who is not, tied down by societal expectations or how a woman should be. And I think while watching the movie, it was not a very comfortable watch for me personally. But after watching it, when I thought about it, I felt that because we are wired to think a certain way, like, you know, we have not really come across women like this in real life. So when you act, when you are put in a situation where you have to watch a woman do all these crazy things, it becomes a bit of uncomfortable because you're not accustomed to watching these. But if the roles were reversed and if a man was doing all these things, I don't think we would be as shocked or astounded seeing all these things. So I think it's about the wiring or the societal constructs or the gender constructs that exist in society. And I think the director has skillfully tackled that theme. But I guess, you know, there were a lot of intimate scenes involved. But that was one thing that, you know, was sort of off-putting for me because I think I read in a study also recently that youngsters don't want to be seeing all these intimate acts on movies because I don't know what effect it has or to prove. They've already proved the point. They've already established what Bella Baxter is doing or how is she as a person. But I felt like all those scenes was a little bit off-putting.
Yeah. And also what I found interesting in this film is the world where the director has been able to transport the viewers to. And for that, he uses certain techniques, like in terms of both the stagecraft and the human relations. They are not the ordinary type kind of world where you see that the scientist, who is termed as the god by Bella, he is a surgeon and he experiments with dead bodies and the ambience using the animals. You can see a duck with a dog's head or a dog with a duck's head and such things. So that kind of adds to the weirdness of the ambience, of the atmosphere. So how do you view that, Princy?
The director, Yorgos Lanthimos, is someone, you know, who's resorted to absurdity in his plot and storylines even before, you know, the kind of techniques that he used and employed in his previous films like Lobster, which also was nominated for the best original screenplay previously. It was also centered on a very strange plot. So that is how the kind of techniques that he brought in, like you mentioned, through the use of animals, through the use of various things that you're not accustomed to. So that is the kind of brilliance in which he is actually trying to convey this movie. But what I like most is that no matter how absurd the nature of his films are, whether it be Poor Things or Lobster or the other ones, the narrative always remains light, you know, and almost comical and farcical. So even though you may not like the theme generally, maybe because of its absurdity and the way it's being told, but the storytelling style is definitely endearing in some way or the other. So, and I also liked how he's used his black and white and the mix of color in the movie to showcase different places, the different moods, the different situations that people are in. So the whole technique, in terms of techniques, Yorgos has done a really good job with the movie.
So we cannot put this into a particular genre, like whether it's science fiction. You can see it's science fiction, but there are certain things the movie doesn't explain. Like by simply replacing human brain with another one, will it be able to regenerate as the term that's used in the film? So, but that's simply an instrument to drive his philosophy home, I think. So what do you say? Or does this outlandish ambience help you enjoy the film much, Swati?
I think, Padma Kumar, yes, it does. The ambience really helps in, you know, getting ourselves immersed into the world of Bella Baxter, Gordon Baxter, and of course, every other person in the story. Because since we're dealing with theme like this, I think it was very important or pertinent to the story that they use all these kind of colors or color palettes or the kind of the settings that they use. As mentioned before, Padma Kumar, the crossbreeds. I think they're like surgically sewn together. I think that adds to the fact that Godwin Baxter is an eccentric person and he actually talks about everything in a very plain manner. Like he talks about his own sufferings in a very simple way. He talks about his own sufferings. Like there are many instances in the movie where he talks about how his father tortured him, but he talks as if all those torturings were necessary or was a necessity for scientific advancement. Yet this movie is not a sci-fi thriller, I would say, because it felt like a fantasy movie because everything, including places Lisbon or Paris or the London that you see, all of the places are entirely different. So I think the makers wanted to go for a setting where they are saying that this is the place, but it's actually not the place that you've seen before. Probably these are the kind of places that might appear to you in a dream, or this is a dream world. So I like to see this whole world as a dream world, and I think for a person like Bella Baxter to be believable, she has to be in such a place or such a world. So I think in that aspect, all the setting, the ambience, everything works really well for the movie.
Yeah, he keeps it to the point that you can feel that it might happen. Like he has that huge bubble burping, he burps out and then cracks. So such things are there. Now, when it comes to the storyline, how it develops and reaches the finishing line. So it takes off on a promising note. Personally, I like the movie towards the middle, but then midway through, it trips and then falls. So if you're asked to explain how the storyline from the beginning till the finish, how do you explain, Princey?
You know, when I started watching the film, I kind of had a different picture in mind. Though, you know, we understood the synopsis was an adventure, Bella Baxter's adventure in this woman's body and a child's brain. But I expected the movie, you know, from the initial setting and all that, it would explore the psychological aspect of who Bella Baxter is and her behavior and the strange and it would get, you know, limited somewhere to the strange experiments that are taking place inside that lab and things, you know, built by Godwin Baxter. It was hugely surprising and interesting, you know, to see this fun adventure that they went across the cities and across the globe. And that was highly intriguing. And in that way, the storyline picked up pace. It was fascinating to see her journey. And like you mentioned, in between, maybe, you know, the over-centralization of the content, it kind of made you think, where is this movie heading to? What is the purpose? I mean, if you're looking at it in terms of freedom, if you're looking in terms of women's liberation here, is it being, you know, is the filmmaker being able to achieve that? So overall, the storyline, when it comes, you know, this whole, the scenes from, you know, when they're moving across cities and the characters are moving on. There's a whole sense of intrigue that is being brought to the film. But, you know, the message or the theme that they are trying to explore gets somewhere lost in the middle. But it gains middle ground, and even the characters, they even though they are not that explored that in depth, but you kind of really start liking these characters and things. And by the end of the film, you get a whole picture of the thing. But is it able to achieve this, the whole intrigue that it was building on? I am not so sure about that.
So Swati, if you are asked to explain from the beginning till the end, how was it for you? Will you say that it fascinated you as a whole? What's it?
I actually watched the movie in two parts. Like, I watched the first half on one day and the second half on another day. It was not because I couldn't sit through, but for many other reasons. But I started watching the second half. I didn't feel like, okay, the movie is lagging or anything. I think somehow the movie was able to come full circle. It started somewhere and it had to come to the same point, and it actually does. If you look at it, she starts from, you know, having these baby-like traits and baby-like speeches, and she grows into this whole adult, and then she comes back to where she actually promised that she would be. That is Godwin Baxter's house. She's there, but by the time she comes back, she is this whole new woman. She can make proper sentences. She can actually converse to people really nice. She is actually fully grown up. I don't know how that works. Like, I don't know how a baby's brain can develop that fast. That is one thing that did not, you know, check my boxes. But other than that, I think it somehow it managed to come full circle. Like, whether or not it makes sense or not, I don't know. But I think for a fantasy thriller, this is how it works, because she starts off from point A, she goes to point B, point C, point so on like that. And she experiences everything that she wished to experience, and that she does. Whatever she experiences, we cannot, that was sort of crazy. But then again, if you look at it, she does come back to where it all started, and then she starts a new life from there. So I think in that way, the story comes full circle.
Okay. Now, when we talk about the performance, definitely it's an Emma Stone thriller. But when as regards the plot, I think there are two things that come to my mind. One is it an imaginative sketch of a woman's free will, or is it given a chance how she would like to grow up or evolve from the beginning? So is it the director's take on woman's situation, or how a woman has to fight the social norms and has to establish herself as a woman, as a human being? So whether it's Emma Stone or as Bella Baxter, or Mark Ruffalo as Duncan Wedderburn, or Willem Dafoe as Dr. Godwin Baxter. So they all contribute to this evolution of a woman. So as regards the performance, who do you rate? Definitely it's Emma Stone, but how would you narrate her evolution as the character in this film, Princey?
Yes, Padma Kumar, just like you mentioned, Emma Stone is the highlight of this movie. And to be very honest, I watched Killers of the Flower Moon, which is also part of the Oscar nominations recently. And I really batted for Lily Gladstone, who played the main female character in the movie. And I was hoping that she would be winning the Oscars, but I changed my mind on seeing Emma Stone's performance. You know, I've always liked Emma Stone through her performance, because I always felt that she had some sort of freshness that she always brought to her characters. She always stood out for her voice and her face expressions. And in this movie, what I like most is the fluidity in her expressions. And what especially struck me was how she carried herself throughout the entire movie. And that was mind-blowing, the way she's a child stuck in a woman's body and how she is managing to walk. She's struggling to walk in a way. Both things really, I'm sure she's done a lot of research in it, and that was really good. And Mark Ruffalo was in his character, definitely, but I kind of found him trying too hard to play Duncan. Probably it is the character that he played that I didn't like much, but I also felt that he was trying a little too hard, playing the seemingly self-assured man who loses his mind when he fails to control Bella Baxter. Willem Dafoe as damaged Dr. Godwin Baxter was a delight, definitely a delight to watch.
Who would you root for, Swati, in this film?
For me, Padmakumar, it has to be Willem Dafoe because I think he was really, really brilliant in the movie because we've seen him do eccentric roles before, like in Spider-Man, but this was something else. Like, he's so composed, but he's talking about the most bizarre stuff and that too, very composed. I think Emma Stone, definitely, she did a great job, but I somewhere feel like she can or she might have done things like that before. So the freshness that Princey was talking about, I was actually not able to see it. And I was actually thinking, okay, Lily Gladstone could have won the Oscars because I feel like I've seen Emma Stone's performance like this before. Of course, she's a phenomenal performer. That there is no doubt in that. But I guess two people who really challenged themselves, I would say, not two people, actually it was Mark Ruffalo because we've not seen him doing such a character before. For me, he's always the Hulk. Or his much more freer versions, like in his 30s or in the early 30s or something, the kind of movies that he used to do. That is the kind of image that I have in my mind. But to see him, this whole grown-up man who is a bit cunning, who is a bit evil, who is trying to control Bella Baxter, I think he really tried to push his boundaries. But for me, if I have to root for a character, it has to be Willem Dafoe. Like I said, he was just brilliant. He's just a great actor.
Yes. And also the music by Jerskyn Fendricks. So it was really synced in with the strange, the weird ambience of the film. So it played a great role in elevating the tone and tenor of the whole creation. I still wonder why the title is Poor Things. Who is the poor thing? Who are the poor things? Is it the viewers at the end? Any idea? What's your opinion, Princey?
Padmakumar, when you see a title like that, you kind of expect a very different story. It does not really reveal much, but essentially, I think all of us are in a quest for happiness and freedom. But we unfortunately are exposed to too many harsh realities in life. The kind of harsh realities that poor Bella Baxter, I do not want to call her poor in this because she definitely comes out, like both of you were saying, liberated at the end. But then there were too many harsh realities in this complex world. So finding that happiness and freedom the way we expect to might seem impossible. And probably, like you mentioned, we might be the poor things here. You know, the audience or the person who's actually experiencing this might be the poor things here.
What do you say, Swati?
Padmakumar, for me, I think it's the bizarreness of the movie or the characters in the movie that can be considered poor things. Because, you know, if you look at it as it is, all these people who are having intimate relationship with Bella Baxter, they're actually having relationship with the child because it's a child's, it's a baby's brain actually. And it's all these, you know, different things or bizarre things that are happening. And I think as audience, we are actually telling or saying or thinking poor things. I think that's the whole outtake from it for me.
Just to add to this, you know, I just mentioned about the kind of explicit sexual scenes that were added in this movie. I think you would agree that there was a lot of it in this movie, which might not have been necessary. And especially, I kind of felt surprised that they actually included, you know, in the brothel scene where they included these two kids who are coming to watch and learn from their father have sex. I mean, in a society where, you know, I think this would be actually considered taboo in any society. So I'm surprised that the filmmakers actually dared to do it. I don't think you can call it daring, but I think it was insensitive.
I think to a point it was fine, but after that it seemed a bit gross because you don't want to see all these things because I think the point was already made that Bella is working in a brothel or she's having sexual relations with multiple people. The point was actually put forward, but even after that, you know, showing these scenes, I think it kind of grosses you out after a point, and I think that was not necessary. It was getting a bit too much.
Yes, yet the movie helps you get transported to a different world and be there for quite some time. So that brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks for listening to Start Action Cut, produced and hosted by me, Padmakumar, with technical production by Idea Brew Studios. Follow www.onmanorama.com for more podcasts on movies. And be sure to come back for the next episode of Start Action Cut that will be out on Monday. Thank you.